higher ground. Psalm 61 is the text, the topic for our meditation tonight. The plea, the promise, and the praise, verse 1 to 2, 3 to 5, and verse 6 to 8. The Christian journey is an ever upward journey where heaven is the ultimate destination. The testing of life while we are on this journey seem to be more and more difficult each passing moment, with often no relief, no let up. But for the child of God, we thank the Lord that we have God with us to help us along this journey. And we may say that the Lord Jesus Christ, our rock, stands steadfast, unmovable, as a refuge for his people in every test. We are coming to the end of the year, and we thank the Lord for preserving us through the year. We have had many trials through the year. Physical trials we have had. We have had emotional trials. We have had trials in the workplace. We have had trials at home. And we have had trials in various times, in various ways, in various forms. And we thank the Lord that he has helped us. And today we can be found in his house to worship him, to praise him, to thank him. You may have experienced some pain along the way and how the Lord has preserved us. And we praise and thank God that we have a God who is higher than us, that we can cling on to, that we can rely on, that will give us strength during those difficult times. And it is important that the people of God learn how to be dependent on God, how to rely on him, how to find strength from him. This life we have with God must be real. And that strength that God imparts to us must be felt in our lives. And having experienced the goodness of God, well, he wants us to impart a little bit of that life to the people around us. And it's important that we all learn and live life with God, the power of God flowing in and through us. And here the psalmist putting on music, a song, possibly with string instruments. That's the meaning of the word nigina. And this is also a psalm. It's a prayer. This word occurs 17 times in the various psalms. And it first occurred in Psalm 4, verse 1. To the chief musician on Niginoth, a psalm of David, a prayer of David. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. Why is it that the people of God, you know, if you study the Psalms, it's always in distress? There are those times when he's praising God, but there are many times when he is in distress. Why so? Well, you find that life brings with it many challenges. And we thank God that, you know, we are not living that life without help, without hope, without a higher hand, without a higher ground on which we can climb to so that we won't be overwhelmed, a hand that is stronger than us, wings that are powerful and that can bring us to safety, give to us security, the security that we all need. As we think about these things, we realize that indeed we can be so weak, and when trials will come to our lives, we want to be prepared. We want to be able to take hold of things. And how can we take a hold of life except we build that life strong, right, with the source of life, with the giver of life, with the sustainer of life, with life himself? And that is the secret to the prosperity of the Christian life, prosperity of the soul. And none of us may say that we live without emotional anguish, without burdens. And these things come with the people, with the environment, with all the things that happen around us. And we'll notice that there is this prevalent picture of suffering and sorrow and torments, agony, pain, grief that the psalmist speaks about. Now, you may think that in the world that we live in, isn't there a lot of merriment? Isn't there a lot of partying going on? Isn't there a lot of enjoyment going on? Well, as you think about it, as you consider, if you read today's papers, you would see that there are more younger people given to drinking. And it seemed that there is a higher rate of those who are involved in drinking. And it's interesting that the younger people, it seems, are involved in one way or another, whether they are in the workplace, whether they are within the family. There seem to be this disparity. And oftentimes you realize that after the drink is the hangover. Right? The problems are not solved. It's not a really good escape. So I saw someone, friends holding this one person. Cannot stand up because the person is half drunk. They had to stoop down, and friends hovering all over, trying to hold up the person, but there is not enough strength to even stand up properly. Well, perhaps that person has some untold sorrow that is in the heart. It could not be expressed. And the drink became that escape. Well, for the child of God, you'll find that you have God in whom you can cry out to. You have God in whom you can talk to. Just like as a child, right? When you're a child, any little thing that comes to you, discomfort, you cry for mommy or you cry for daddy, right? And daddy and mommy will come to bring all the things that you need so that you'll be satisfied. That's the same picture of the Father in heaven taking care of us. Very, very lovingly, wonderfully caring, most able to meet our needs. And therefore, the Lord wants us to know that we are not orphans on earth, but we have a Heavenly Father who has the ability to help us. We can feel ourselves very weak. We can feel ourselves very helpless oftentimes. And we can feel quite hopeless with the situation that overwhelms us, whatever that is coming to our lives. But you would see that there is a way out with God. right? And the personal pronoun I speaks of a truthful confession of the psalmist. He speaks in the first person. He's sharing his testimony of what he's feeling and how he's finding relief for the deep sorrow that has confronted his heart. And this must be our approach also, right, to life's problems. There is a way out with God. And so he says, I cry. And then he says, I will abide. I will tarry. I will sojourn. I will dwell with God. Then he says, I will trust. The word there means to seek refuge. And I will sing. Then I may perform. Wow. So you see a transition from sorrow to singing and to ultimately action, ready to move. And so life brings with it its challenges, but life with God brings with it also the victory, the wisdom to handle. And the Lord wants us to have a strong emotional state, a strong spiritual state, so that we may be able to handle the things that comes through life. And all the time you read in the psalmist's trials that is so deep, right? He says, I cry, attend to my prayer, listen to me, Lord. But you can see a transition in his emotional state. To lift our hearts from a state of deep depression, being overwhelmed, our inaction, to a state of renewed strength to press on with life. Sometimes trials can come to us and we can become very discouraged. We hide ourselves. We don't want to see anybody. We want to be alone. And sometimes prolonged is not good for us. And we lose appetite. Don't feel you want to eat. And that's not good. And you would notice, right, that the trials of life can confront us in such an overwhelming way that we can be stunned into inaction. And so the psalmist teaches us how we are able to regulate the heart, spiritually speaking, so that we would be able to find solutions, no matter how difficult the circumstances, the situation will be. And step two, step three, step four comes when we seek God in worship, by prayer, the meditation and the appropriation of his word, in the singing of hymns, he renews our faith and trust in God. So you notice that the people of God, they spend a lot of time in the worship of God, in personal devotion, in time spent in personal prayer, in private prayer, time in the meditation of God's word, to let God speak to us, and time to be quiet before God. How important it is that we learn that spiritual demeanor, the spiritual demeanor that enables us to be able to handle life. And this is what the psalmist is saying to us here. Plea, promise, and praise, the three thoughts. To the chief musician upon Nigina, a psalm of David. Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. This is the plea of an anguished heart, with tears perhaps flowing uncontrollably, trapped in an entrenched position or place, sinking fast into the quicksand of life's uncomfortable circumstance. Have you seen someone who cries often? Every other time you meet with a person and the person is shedding some tears, must be sad in the heart. There must be situation where there seem to be no solution, right? Because a person's heart to be so sad, so much so that tears would flow so uncontrollably. Grasping for a grip that will firmly usher him to safety. How tough and tense the circumstance. Danger is sensed everywhere. There is a great desperation generated in the heart, seeking for needful relief. And for us, we need to know where we are able to find that relief. And God wants us to be able to, He wants to impart to us that relief. And this is what the psalmist is saying to us. There is a way out with God. There is a way out. He's able to minister strength to your heart so that whatever circumstances that may be befalling you, you are able to contain it within your heart. You are able to put it in its place. It's here. This is the problem. It's here and only here. I know this is it. And I know that my God is able to handle it. There is a solution. He won't leave me in the lurch. I can trust Him to do something for me. And I'm willing to call upon Him. I'm willing to surrender myself to Him. I'm willing to stake my all. I'm willing to allow Him to manifest His glory, His power. And may we say here that God never fails. When we seek for that higher ground, when we seek for the rock that is higher than us, well, we would find that stability. We will surely find that security. And God wants us to be secured. You see? And so in verse 3 to verse 5, right, it's a reference to verse 2b, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. What is this rock? Well, he says to us in verse 3 to verse 5, for thou hast been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings, for thou, O God, hast heard my vows and hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Who was God to the psalmist? God is a rock. God is a shelter. It's a place of safety and protection and security. How important it is that we know where to flee to, where to find shelter for our soul. Right? Your soul may be under tremendous pressure, tremendous attack. But you know where you are able to hide and be shielded from all the darts, all the arrows, all the spears. In modern day, we said all the bombs that is able to even penetrate deep bunkers. Yeah, our God is able. And He's a strong tower. He's a tabernacle. Right? He's a place where we may dwell amidst the wilderness. And we can be abiding under the wings of God, meaning that we are covered under His protection. The rock is a symbol of stability. Jesus is that rock. We sing the chorus, only Jesus, only Jesus. You recall? Only Jesus, only Jesus, only He can satisfy. Every burden is turned to blessing when I know my Lord is nigh. When we focus our attention on our Lord Jesus, every burden is turned to blessing because He is the source of all blessings. Have you tried it out? Is this your experience? This must be our experience. The satisfaction that dawned on the distress, whose heart's burden is turned to blessing. We have to experience it to know it, that Jesus cares, that there is a way in which we can find relief to our soul. And the psalmist wanted that we too may experience the sufficiency of God's grace for every trial. The realization, the meditation of God gave him spiritual strength, courage, and a sudden joy. And the word sila means it's a well-deserved pause, marked a transition in his emotions. Can my problems be so big that my God cannot solve? The impossibility that God cannot help lifts his heart from sinking sand to firm ground. Can God help? Of course he can help. Is he able? Of course he's able. But in our distress, when we are faced with those, especially when the problem is external to us, not ourselves, right, others around us, we find ourselves so helpless. And yet you know there's such a thing as intercessory prayer, that we can go on our knees and we can pray, and that we can expect that God would help us. Of course, when we are crying out, we commit all these burdens to Him, lifting all our cares, not knowing what will happen. We cannot predict what God will do. But we are willing to let God, trust God that He knows what to do that is best for us. You see, sometimes we think we know best, right? But our Lord knows better. He cares for us more than we know how to care for ourselves. And therefore, that's that faith in our God brings with it a lot of consolation in the heart, right? Brings a bit a lot of comfort to the heart. God wants your heart to be comforted. That's the meaning of the name of the Holy Spirit. Right? When Christ said, "I will leave you," he said to the disciples, "but when I go, I will send the Comforter," right? The Parakletos, the one that would come to be alongside you, to be with you. And that's the meaning of the word comforter, the one who will help you, to come alongside you, to be with you, to fight your battles together with you, so that you won't be alone. Even though you are alone, the Spirit of God in you is an invisible presence of God with you that you have to take hold of by faith. And you have to experience that it's real. The things, substance of things hoped for. Evidence of things not seen. My vows, he says in verse 5, speaks of the psalmist's consecration to God with promises of service. The word is found 25 times in the Old Testament. It basically means a solemn promise to God. His vow is heard by God. O God, for thou hast heard my vows. Well, there are times when we are overwhelmed. And, well, those times when we are with God, well, we seek the Lord's help. And we have committed our lives to God, right, at one time or another. When you come to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have surrendered yourself to Him. You have given yourself over to Him. And you belong to Him. And how can the Master desert us? Of course, our Master will not desert us. He is a good master, right? The best master. Right. And we can trust him to lead us, to guide us. And the Lord wants us to take hold of that knowledge. The inheritance from God is his inexhaustible and enduring blessings to those who humble themselves before him. The psalmist is reassured in his heart that God has heard his petitions and will help him. So he begins with his prayer and then he acknowledges and affirms and is assured in his heart that we have a God that is, although unseen, but able to help us. And as we meditate upon the Word of God, you find that there are so many examples of the people of God, right, who experience the power of God. And we need to meditate upon them. This is the same God. The God who saved them will be the same God who saved us. He has saved them. He will certainly take care of us. And we can take hold of all these examples and promises in order that we can, our hearts may be still and strengthened before Him, that we are willing to wait and trust, although we don't see anything yet. No, we are not going to crumble, but we are able to take slow steps forward, trusting that God will show the way. That's faith, that's life with God. We don't know what is ahead of us, but we know that we can trust Him to take care of us. Verse 6 to 8, praise. The climax of the psalm is the last verse in verse 8. The psalmist resolved to praise God with a heart whose burden is lifted off and endued with strength to press on with life. And this can only happen when we are connected with the source of life, our Lord Jesus Christ. The transition from inactivity and distress to joy in the heart, pressing on with life, came when the psalmist is fully connected with his Creator to receive fresh supply of strength. When the saint is on higher ground of God's promises, there is a strength imparted to live and thrive amidst adversity. And may the Lord grant you the strength in your time of need. Has He ever failed? He never fails. And He will still be sufficient for us today. And we need to be reminded over and over again. And we are assured, right, of His help, and we are also beckoned to not stop calling upon Him, not stop crying, to coming to Him for all our needs. May the Lord help us. May He strengthen each and every heart. This I Let's pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy mercy and grace in teaching us life with Thee, how the believer is able to triumph through life. Lord, thank Thee for the skill imparted to us to deal with emotional traumas. Lord, strengthen us. Bless us with Your presence. This I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.